We give you a warm welcome tonight to our evening service here in Toronto, Canada. If you're joining us from near or far, we're very happy that you're able to tune in. We are still under lockdown here in Toronto, which means our churches only have 10 people allowed to be in at the moment. And hopefully in the next number of weeks, things will open up again for in-person services. In the meantime, we continue to broadcast over sermon audio, and we trust and hope that God will use His Word to encourage your hearts. We're going to begin our worship in our hymnal number 586, Looking to Christ. Let's sing to the Lord's honor tonight. We can testify that so often in our own Christian and journey of faith, we can become battle-worn and weary of the fight. Well, in a spiritual sense, we might face that, but it becomes compounded when there are issues that attack us physically. And we heard report tonight again of the ongoing persecution and difficulty there is in Myanmar. And we would ask you to pray tonight for the Christians who are trying to bear a witness there. Things are very, very difficult. Brother Eric Delina shared with us tonight of his friend who he knew from school time back years ago, contacted him, but they have lost contact at the moment as things are really very difficult. In this morning service, I was praying actually for the persecuted church, as we often do, and thinking about believers that are troubled, cast down, imprisoned, tormented, and even killed for their faith in Christ. And you know, we in our day of freedom, here in the Western world, we have some kinds of persecution, but it is not turned to that degree. We have not suffered unto blood striving against sin. And so therefore we We want to pray and remember tonight those people who have very specific needs. Let's come before the Lord now, please, in our prayer. Our loving Father, we begin our service tonight singing a hymn of worship and thanksgiving, and yet at the same time, Lord, it's a prayer to look to the God of our salvation, a prayer that we might be established firmly in our faith, that we will not be cast down or fretting when the enemy seems to get the upper hand on us. Lord, we come tonight to pray for the very great need that we have, for the anointing of the Spirit of God in our service, that as we pray, we will know ourselves touching the very throne of grace of God in heaven. We will know ourselves as we approach on the blood-sprinkled pathway. We come with absolute confidence and assurity and certainty that we are heard in heaven. Because, Lord, we don't come in our own name. We do not come, Lord, tonight in some sort of trumped-up confidence. We come upon the blood-sprinkled pathway, upon the merit and the value of the blood of Christ, our Redeemer. And so, Lord, as we approach tonight, we do so without authority. And we pray that you would abundantly come to our aid and help us in our service, in our worship. Let the Word of God be applied to our heart so that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. But Lord, we have not suffered physically in the sense of persecution here in our land. But we know that there are many of your people around this world who are in that state right now. And we pray for the Christians that are facing that physical conflict in Myanmar. We know that in the land of China, in India, in Saudi Arabia, in places where there is no gospel liberty and freedom, Christians are being troubled, imprisoned, persecuted. And Father, we hold them up and pray for them. As Paul reminds us in the New Testament that we are to pray for them that are in bonds, as bound with them. And so, Lord, help us to enter in to the plight of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Though we don't know them, Lord, personally, and though the news issues and items and information is sometimes hard to decipher, we would pray for wisdom and understanding. And, Lord, that you would give to us that information that is clear and truthful and accurate, so that we might pray more sensibly. Remember tonight, Lord, we think of those who are suffering and sickness here, directly connected with our own fellowship or related to those. We pray tonight for Dr. Slade, that your hand would be on her. Remember Brother Sam, bless him. We pray for Ron. We ask for Mrs. Sushila in hospital. We pray tonight, Lord, for Jeff, for Tammy, that you would bless them and their family as they have very immediate health needs. Lord, undertake for them and strengthen them at this time. And others that are outside our fellowship, but yet very near to us, Lord, we pray earnestly for them all tonight. Remember our land. Remember our leaders. Remember, Lord, as there are camps and influences that are evil and wicked against the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that you would restrain those and you would bless those who are followers of Christ, those who are faithfully serving the Master. We pray across our land for every faithful tongue that is proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Lord, give us understanding in our times. Give us wisdom to know how we are to stand for truth and when we are to make our public witness. We know these days are with increasing difficulty and trouble against those who are followers of Christ. So, Lord, help us tonight. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Give us courage that we will take our stand on the Word of God and for the Lord Jesus. Bless us now tonight in our evening service. Watch over us, Lord. Bless us for all the meetings in this incoming week. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. Number 593. Let's sing again, please. Oh, for a faith that will endure. Going to read tonight the Word of God, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. We're reading here now at this time in the service, and then we're reading some further verses in the same chapter a bit later on, so keep that flagged and marked there. 2 Kings, chapter 7, the first 11 verses. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight, to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight as we have read. And we will be studying a little bit later in our service, ongoing message to do with the life of Elisha and the famine, the siege that was taking place against Samaria, and what important lessons there are for us to glean from that tonight. Do remember, please, the necessary things of prayer I've already mentioned before the opening prayer, and then also would ask you to remember the services this coming week, the incoming week. On Wednesday night, we're going to be having our prayer meeting and Bible study continuing over Zoom. And I want to look at the next part of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, and specifically looking from verse 35 down to 51. The sudden second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. I mentioned this morning as we had our morning service looking at the life of Christ, and as we've been spending quite a bit of time on the Olivet Discourse and looking at it also Wednesday night, because, well, it lends much more to a Bible study, looking at different verses, and not so much for a morning or evening service in that sense. But as we continue on, we pray that God would direct us, give us understanding. Thank you very much for your continued prayers for me in this study, as I'm very, very conscious of that. Please remember also on Thursday night, and this I omitted to mention this morning, this coming Thursday will be the monthly ladies' Bible study. Please note the time. It's 7 p.m., not 7:30. It is 7 p.m., and there will be a Zoom link sent out to all the ladies who want to join up to that, and you can get it through our church email. Want to remember, please, also, next Lord's Day, our services at the regular time. As I mentioned earlier, we are still under lockdown here in Toronto, and so we're limited with really no in-person services, or at least up to 10, which is really just enough to keep the lights turned on and keep the equipment running. And so we want to remember that. We'll keep you posted as soon as that opens up. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise. And this is a new hymn, but it really ties into the message that I want to think about tonight. And so the tune is familiar, a tune number 660, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And you'll see how the tune fits in very well. Thank you. Let me ask you again to turn to 2 Kings chapter 7, and we'll continue at our reading at verse 12. And the king, that is, the king Jehoram of Israel, he arose in the night, and he said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore 2 chariot horses. The king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. We'll ask you to join me, please, for a brief word of prayer. Father, give help now, we pray, for this evening sermon. I pray that you would give me help and understanding. Every word, Lord, to be spoken, the power of heaven to deliver it. We ask, Lord, for that which is so necessary, the unction, that anointing from heaven. Please, Lord, draw near tonight with the Word of God to the hearts of every one believer and unsaved. Lord, maybe someone has tuned in tonight by accident in their thinking, not really intending to join our service now. I pray that the Word of God would have convicting and converting power in that very heart. And maybe some believer has tuned in tonight, and Lord, I'm asking that there would be a word in season to every one of our hearts. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Feasting in Samaria. Quite a distinction from the famine in Samaria that really encompasses this account and what has transpired here. This is a gospel, a message of undeserved deliverance that was given. The famine in Samaria, brought on by sin in the land, and the siege by Syria, well, it had revealed among the people the worst forms of human depravity. And as the common people resorted even to cannibalism, the king vented his anger against the head of the man of God, the most righteous man in the city of Samaria, Elisha, instead of Jehoram crying out unto God in repentance. Isn't that so often the way? The ungodly say there's no use in talking to God, no use in believing in Him, until some disaster happens, and then they blame God and everyone who follows the Lord. It's their problem. It's their fault. It's easy for us, you know, to stand back and assess the causes and the reasons for such a disaster when we are not in the middle of it. No one here, and I would say very few listening online, have ever suffered anything like a real famine. Maybe our greatest discomfort would be if we miss a meal or we don't get just exactly the thing delivered on time. Such options we hope that we will never have to face in our life. But this was not a drama. It wasn't something the account that's given to us here in the Scripture made up for ratings. No, this was a real life occurrence. What do we make of all this as we review it? And I'm sure that many of you have read it over many times. What helps along the Christian journey will this account give to us? Let's examine the characters and the events, praying that God would open our hearts to hear, that we will learn and apply lessons for life. But then, my friend, I also say to you, if you're not a believer tonight, but you're listening, there's a word here for you from God in this story. And I pray that your heart will be open to receive it. I want you to notice in the first place tonight the confident declaration of faith that was given by Elisha. A confident declaration of faith. The opening verse of chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Hear the word of the Lord. Elisha positively assured the king, even after the rash decree that the king had made to decapitate the prophet, yet Elisha comes to Jehoram and he says, "I have a word from the Lord for you." And the word that he gives was that tomorrow, about this time, the food supply and the prices at the marketplace will be pre-famine times and prices. His words were doubted, and the person was hated. How very bizarre that should be. The very word of promise and deliverance that was given through God by the prophet, instead of the man saying, "Blessed are you, Elisha. Thank you for delivering this word," there was doubt, there was unbelief. Should we be surprised about that? The Lord Jesus, you know, He told us, He said, "Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall persecute you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven." Elisha, they don't care about your word, and they're prepared nearly to take your life away, but you are speaking the Word of God, and you're speaking the Word of faith, and don't fret, because just like the prophets of old whose lives they took, they desire to have your life as well. But the Lord stood by him at that time. Do you know, for Elisha, the sight of faith, it is 20/20. Faith sees what others around are blind to. Elisha was in touch with God, and he was listening to the voice of the Lord that was mapping out the way in front of him. It may not be clear in every situation, you know, the path that is. It sometimes in our life, the path might be covered by a mist of providence, and the Lord has not cleared the way for us to see. Nonetheless, faith walks on steadily. Faith walks on confidently, because we know that God is in control of all things. He is the sovereign, the infinite, the eternal, the omnipotent and omnipresent God, and He will not lead us astray. Now that begs us to think, believer, that sometimes when we don't know what's going on and we're tempted to wonder, has God forgotten to be gracious? Is He not leading us in the way He wants us to go? Are we missing something? Well, we may be missing something, but the Lord never misses anything. And He is always the one to be trusted and always the one to be looked to. In times of plenty, Elisha could smile at the abundant supply of God. And you and I can thank the Lord for His abundant provision. And we can smile about that. But believer, here's the challenge. Can we smile when the supply is not so abundant? Faith will do that. Faith will look at the want or the lack. And at the same time, we will patiently wait to see the next way in which God will provide for us. Yes, this man of God could say with such certainty, tomorrow, about this time, there will be a market that is full of food. How did Elisha know that? God told him about that. That's how he knew. He was not someone who looked into a crystal ball, but God, the living God, revealed to His servant exactly what He was going to do. You know, I think we rob ourselves often of peace and joy, of God's provision, both practically, but more so spiritually, because we have more unbelief than we do faith. Paul warned the Hebrew Christians, beware of an evil heart of unbelief that was present in the hearts of some Israelites as they were in the wilderness. He warned the Christians and the Hebrews in the day he was writing, beware that we don't doubt God. Beware that we don't fully refuse to believe in Him and in His Word. The Lord has given to us all things richly for our enjoyment and benefit. And we might say and do well to pray, oh, for a faith that will endure, as we sang tonight, though pressed by many a foe. A faith that always stands secure through every earthly woe. Yes, Elisha is an example for us of a man who was confident in the declaration of the Word of God, and he had faith. And I want you to notice in the second place that God chose four diseased, despised, and unworthy outcasts to discover a great provision. These lepers at the gate of Samaria, well, they had their miserable life compounded. Not only starving, but condemned to lives of isolation from regular life. The life of a leper was exceedingly difficult. They did not appear to have much hope, no matter what direction that they took. If they went into Samaria, what was that? Starvation. If they remained in the gate of Samaria on the outside, what did that mean? Starvation. If they went to the Syrian camp, quite likely they would have been run through with a sword, or their last hope was maybe a scrap of food would be thrown to them. These men did not act in faith. They acted out of desperation. And the desperation for them was life and death. And yet they were moved, friend, by a sovereign hand. They were moved by one that was overruling every step that they took. Friends, in our lives, before we knew Christ, as we were walking according to our own light, and yet there was a sovereign hand of providence overruling. I've heard the testimony that some of you have shared with me. You remember back to your unsaved days, and you knew the life that you lived. I can testify the same myself. I knew the way that I had gone before I met the Lord, before God took a hold of my life. And there were so many circumstances that I could have lost and gone off and been killed. And you maybe see the same situation, but God's hand was upon you. The Lord was restraining you from some serious situation that would have had devastating impact on your life. These four leprous men were acting out of desperation, but they were being guided by a sovereign, loving Father in heaven. When they came to the outer limits of the Syrian camp, there was an eerie silence. The twilight rays of the setting sun upon the camp. And they heard no voices. You could almost imagine in your mind them calling out, "Hello, anyone there? Hello?" And they could repeat that, but no response back again. There and then they ventured into one tent, and the table was set, and the drinks were poured, and they feasted themselves on that food. And then they took the silver and the gold and the garments, and they went out and hid them. And they went to a second tent and did the same thing again, taking the gold and silver. And maybe as they were about to go into the third tent, it came to them and hit them very hard. And so they had something came upon them. And they realized that what's before us is something that we dare not keep to ourselves. For they said, "We do not well." There's a gospel lesson here that's very, very clear. We who are sinful and helpless, contaminated in ourselves by the leprosy of sin, unable to feed ourselves spiritually, starving for the very bread of life, with no hope in this world and no hope in the world that is to come. Left to ourselves, we would shrivel and die and be cast into a lost eternity. But God in His grace, He put it within our hearts. He guided our pathway. And He led us to a great provision and supply. It was satisfying. It was filling. And my friend, it was free. And we came upon it more riches than we were able to carry. And the Holy Spirit led us then to Christ. and to the abundant riches and resources of the gospel found in and through Him, and opened our eyes to see Him whom our soul now loves, the bread of life was brought to us and we to Him. And now there is satisfaction. And as Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures, supplies, abundant supply forevermore. Yes, believer, have you tasted of the Lord's great provision? Have you fed your soul spiritually, receiving Him by faith? Ah, yes. Christ Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we have tasted of Him and trusted in Him and repented of our sin, He has given us more than life. He has given to us eternal life. And now we can say, as the hymn writer wrote, now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There is love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in Thee. We have been given, friend, tonight, unsearchable riches, those unsearchable riches of Christ, and no amount of the world's riches can compare with what we have in our Savior. He is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And God has made us heirs of His royal and abundant bounty. And we have been made joint heirs with Christ. In other words, everything that God has given to His only begotten Son, He has secured for us. We are rich tonight. We are rich beyond any description of it. We have come upon a supply that we did not buy. Come buy wine without money and without price, the Lord says. Come and take freely of all that I have given to you. Jesus is called in the Scripture the pearl of great price. Have you come upon Him tonight? Have you taken of that provision given freely in the gospel? George Smart wrote a hymn. The title of it, God is the Treasure of My Soul, taken from Habakkuk chapter 3. And Habakkuk there relates that though the resources were low, the barn was empty, the stall was clean, we could say maybe the bank was dry, yet we will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord has provided all for us. Can you rejoice tonight, friend? Never mind the temporal things, for the great feast has been provided for us to take care of our soul and the needs that we have. And I wonder tonight, friend, if you're not a Christian, have you come to take of that abundant supply provided for you in Christ? What holds you back? Don't delay any longer. The gospel door is open. The Lord has given to you the key of the bank of heaven. And yet you stay a spiritual pauper. You're poor spiritually. You have no life, no hope. And you're starving when just in front of you is the open door to life and life eternal. Come tonight, friend. Don't delay any longer. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and take hold of all that He has offered us in the gospel, all that is provided for us in the Lord Jesus. And you don't have to pay for it, for indeed you could not pay for it. For Christ Jesus Himself has provided it by His own precious shed blood. Full payment has been made for all our sin. And we must now come and take of that which is free. And those despised diseased, unworthy outcasts of Israel, God led them to a great supply, a great provision. I want you to notice, please, in the third place tonight, that it would be a sin not to share the bounty. In verse 9, chapter 7, they said, "We do not well. For this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We are silent. We do not well." My, it hit them. It hit them like a ton of bricks, as we would say. Whatever happened to the Syrians, they did not know. But this massive camp was furnished with enough to feed a city. Yes. And so they had a committee meeting. And the decision was unanimous. Yes. They would take the news back of a great supply. It was a day of gladness. It was a day of good news. At the time when the city was in dire distress, Samaria was at that time the city of destruction, and the casualties were taking place by the minute. How could they keep it all to themselves? The word of hope to the hopeless must be shared. And so they made their way to the city. They informed the porter, who told the king, and Jehoram, he was suspicious of a trap. And so he sent a scouting party to see if the report was true. And the messengers returned and told the king that all the way along the road to the Jordan, there were clothes and furniture and vessels strewn all the way along the road. But what could have caused such a panic? Jehoram knew it was certainly not him, wasn't his army. They didn't chase anybody. Now, whether or not Elisha told him or shared with him anything of this is unknown. But God caused the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and of horses and of a great host. What was this? I wonder, was it the host of angels that protected Elisha and his young servant when they were in Dothan? Whatever caused the noise, friends, it was from God. And it was simply a noise. The noise of a great host, a great army. And the elements of all of nature are at the disposal of the Lord. And for good reason, the wicked, they were terrified. And they ran and ran and ran. And it's not that the noise just came for a moment, but that noise continued to pursue them as they ran down the road. They did not even have time to get on a horse or get on a mule. They just ran with their lives and whatever they had on them. The wicked flee, we are told, when no man pursues. Such terror, it will consume, my friend, the evil. It'll consume men when Christ comes back again to this world in power and in great glory. And we're told in Revelation chapter 6 about the great kings of this world and the men and the chief captains, and they will call to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and cover them and hide them from the face of the Lamb, the Son of God. Such terror will strike the hearts of the ungodly. My friend, where will you stand at such a time, in such a day? For Samaria, it was a day of relief from the crushing famine. When the news reached the city, the Syrian camp was deserted, the gates were opened, and all the remaining energy that they had, they rallied, and they got to the place of relief. It's ironic that the Syrians, who had encamped around Samaria to conquer it by starving them out, had actually provided a delivery service of food, clothing, livestock, silver, gold. The people went and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. And the prophecy of Elisha came to pass. A measure of flour, a fine flour, was sold for a shekel according to the word of the Lord. Let me apply this for a moment to Christians, to all of us. The whole account here has a wonderful gospel illustration. For when the lepers had came to themselves, they said, "We do not well. For today is a day of glad tidings, and we hold our peace. Today is a day of gospel grace." Glad tidings and the good news, well, that's the very meaning of the word gospel. And the gospel message that God is in the saving work today and the door of grace is open is a message that needs to be spoken far and wide. And we are the ones that God has given the task of spreading that purpose, not to angels, but to men, to women. Those of us who have been saved, we have the message of eternity in our hearts, and we are to share that with others. Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 8, "Unto me," he said, "who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." It was a grace given to him. It was a precious privilege that God bestowed upon men. We are to sow the seed of truth and of grace, for Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Yes, friend, there was in this account for us to learn tonight the confident declaration of faith and how God in grace chose outcasts to provide and discover a great provision. That there was a compelling urgency to share the great bounty. But I close with a word of warning tonight. A word of warning to mockers. And in verses 19 and 20, this is repeated. And it's repeated in its fine detail throughout this chapter. And why would God repeat this if He did not want the message to be reinforced and stamped upon the minds of men? The Lord whom the king rested his hand on, a right-hand man, if you like, of Jehoram, he said, "If the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be?" That's how he responded to the word that Elisha gave to begin with. And it was a word of mockery. It was a word of hard unbelief. It was a word directly in the face of God and God's servant. "This cannot be. It will not be. Don't follow such a foolish notion." Such a man who would have advised Jehoram, "That's a trick of the Syrians." The world is full today of unbelievers. Elisha's words seem to be so far-fetched. He was filled with unbelief. This thing could never happen. This man, he was in a very honored place. He was next to the king. He was a person who knew about God, because he had heard and knew the man of God, Elisha. And he would have known the acts of Elisha. He would have heard of the miracles that Elisha had done. These things were not kept silent or secret in his day. The man was a privileged man. He had heard the message of God. He knew about the man of God. And yet his heart was full of unbelief, and it led to mockery. This man, by the judgment of God through Elisha, he would eat his words, but he would not eat his food. Here's a word of warning. A word of warning to the despising, cynical voices that are never far away when it comes to a preacher's message or mocking the Bible. There will come a day, friend, when you will give account for your own words. There's coming a day when you are going to eat your own words, and you will vomit them up, and you will eat them again. There's coming a day of judgment for all who have rejected Christ and His gospel, for every mocker, every liar, every adulterer and blasphemer, every deceiver, every doubter. God has given more, friend, than enough evidence to believe. But in your evil heart, you have willfully turned away from God. His word has been ignored. His word has been ridiculed. And now there's a price to pay. I say to you solemnly tonight, friend, do not end up as this man, but repent now of your unbelief, repent of your mockery, and call out and flee to Christ for salvation. For now is the day and the time of salvation. Now is the day of gospel grace. But beware, because the Lord has said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." Where do you stand tonight? It is time, friend. It is time to repent. It's time to take the great provision so freely given by God in the gospel through Christ. And it's free to you. You have not to work for it, but you have just to receive that gift. And when you receive that gift, God so abundantly and freely gives, you will know the joy and the peace of believing in Him. You will know what it is to be born again of the Spirit of God. You will know what it is to have joy in your heart and the hope of heaven in front of you, of everlasting life. Come tonight. Call on the Lord where you are. He will hear your voice. He will hear your prayer. And He will save your never dying soul. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, we pray tonight in the solemnness of this message. We pray that Your grace would work, as we have so often been praying of late, for the salvation of sinners. For Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Lord, hear our prayer. Stir up the hearts of each one of us, Lord, to realize the great commission that Christ has given, to tell others about full and free salvation. Give us, we pray, the joy of speaking to sinners one-on-one about the need of salvation. Give us liberty, we pray, in this. Take away the fear of man, which brings a snare. But Lord, we ask that there would be a deep burden in our heart. And give us the joy of leading people to Christ. Lord, do a great thing, we pray. We ask for a mighty awakening. We pray this across our nation. We pray that there would be a reviving in the hearts of all of us as Your people, and that from that reviving would flow out a great awakening. Lord, is it not time for Thee to work? Is it not time for many to come to a great, a full, and a free provision that there is in Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer. Burden our hearts, we pray. And Lord, make use of us. For we are called to be co-laborers with our God. Father, hear our prayer tonight. Bless each family. Bless everyone listening on. Hear and answer our prayers. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.